Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Off the Post. I'm Russ Cohen, and we don't have Anthony Mangione. He's off on assignment today. Who knows what he's doing? He's playing hooky. Who knows? But I do have Sean Resnick from the Hockey Writers, and we're going to really talk about the NHL draft. That's it. No Rangers, no Flyers, no NHL. Sean, how's it going?
Not too bad. How are you? Good to be back.
Yeah, you know, we're starting to ramp up. It's the different part of the season for us, and as we start looking at our lists and start figuring out who's going to go where. But right now, we're going to talk about, I put out a top 30, which, you know, is different than a mock. Obviously, a mock, you're trying to figure out what teams you're going to do. And top 30, you just figure out your own rankings for these players. And it's fun for me to go back and look at them. But I will say my first one is always different than the others because sometimes I'm giving a nod to a guy who may or may not make it towards the bottom. And so, like, it'll change. It'll change a lot. But we'll go from 30 to 1 because I figure that'll be the
That's fine.
The easier way. So on number 30, I've got Roope Hintz. And to me, he's an interesting guy. I don't hear all that much about him, at least right now. Maybe as we get closer to the draft, we will. But he's just like a really versatile guy who I think could be a late first rounder. I don't have him at 30 because I think he's going to be a second rounder or anything like that, but I have him 30 because I think he's going to be one of those guys that slots somewhere between like 25 and 35. What do you think about
him? Yeah, that's actually honestly right where I had him when I was talking to you off air, and mm-hmm. I was trying to make up my top 30 real quick just to have something to banter about, and I was debating putting him in the first round or keeping him in the early second. He's got all the talent. I mean, he's 18 years old. You just don't hear a lot about him because he's playing in Finland right now. But he's playing against men. He has that advantage that he's playing against older, more mature players and more of an NHL style. Yeah, yep. He's got some size, 6'1", 185. So, yeah, he's definitely in that 25. I could maybe see him going a little bit later in the 40s. But, yeah, definitely around that area.
Yeah, and I think that's it's one of those things where these days, in a tough draft like this, normally I would say in a regular draft, if you slot anywhere five up or down, you're doing well. I think in this draft, you might have to do it like 8 because there's just so many players that at some point, I think teams will just start to pick guys they want just because there's so much to choose from. And so I think as a result, a guy who you think might go 25 could go 40, but it doesn't mean he's not, you know, a better than 40 talent. I mean, we can go all over the board in the NHL and look at guys that got drafted late. And, you know, the one who I always like to bring up is Teemu Polkinen, who, geez, I've been writing about him for years, and now he's finally starting to come through because he had a lot of injuries and stuff. But that guy has first-round talent. It's just because of injuries and other reasons he didn't get drafted in the first round.
Certainly. Another guy that you could be looking at is maybe Anthony Mantha, who mm-hmm. ended up going a little bit later than he was expected. Also, Barbashev. Last year, a lot of people had him pegged going in the mid-first round, and he lasted the first couple picks in the second round before the Blues scooped him up. So you're always going to have those talents in that area that might fall just a little bit, but a team on the receiving end of that is going to have a hell of a player.
Yeah, and that's why it's important not to, and especially in a good draft like this, not to lose all your second-round picks. You actually could survive in this draft by compiling second-round picks, even if you don't have a first, because I think you'd still get some great players. I mean, that's one of those things.
Yeah, and considering how deep they're saying this draft is, and all every single year you hear it, this is like the next deepest draft since 2003, but this may have that type of potential finally.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, I was at the 2003 draft, and we all knew it was going to be good, but I always tell the story of Kevin Klein because I did a signing with him early in the year, and I was just off the cuff talking about the 2003 draft with somebody, and he said, "Oh, my draft." And I'm like, "Yeah, Kev, it was." And, you know, and again, with so many players in that draft, not everybody was talking about Kevin Klein, but there's guys, you know,
no, not
six rounds. I mean, it's just it is amazingly deep. And then 2010 was real good, and I think this one will fit right there. My next guy is Blake Spears. I have him at 29. I really like this kid. He's a winger. I mean, he's just one of those guys that does a lot of things right, and he's an exciting player. And I have a feeling this guy could go even a little higher, depending on how he does in the combine. I know some people don't put any stock in the combine, but when I talk about the combine, there's only two things that I put heavy stock into. The one is the interviews, because that's really what the teams are looking for. The interviews are real important, and if a guy does horribly in an interview, word seems to leak out, and that seems to hurt him. If a guy does an amazingly well in the VOC, I pay attention. And, you know, the guy who I always use as the poster child for that is actually Brandon Manning. And Manning had one of the best numbers ever for that. So, and, you know, he's turned into a decent player. So, you know, things like that can make you do very well. But like the Sam Bennett thing last year, nobody paid attention to that.
Yeah, I don't know how much stock I put into combines. Certainly not as much as you. There's good stuff that you can pick and choose from. But I don't know. I've watched a few games of the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, and Spears actually impressed me quite a bit, only because he's 5'11", so the shorter guys mm-hmm. typically are the more offensive ones. He's mm-hmm. above a point-per-game pace so far this year, but it's the work ethic and the – I don't know. He just has his motor, and he just constantly seems to be working.
He's got a way of going wide. He can make things happen by going wide, and that's something where in today's NHL that's pretty valuable, because that is how you sort of get offense going, because the minute you go near the middle, things get terribly clogged up. So I think maybe that's what you're seeing too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would like to see him probably gain a few pounds, because, I mean, 185 at 5'11 is not that huge, and playing against guys, defensemen who are 6'3", 200-something in the NHL, it's going to be a tough go for him. But overall, he does have a lot of good potential as a two-way winger.
Yeah, there's some good things there. And I just had to switch off NBC. We went from the high of, you know, these college hockey games that are great to the low of curling. Come on, man.
Oh, curling.
All right, anyhow.
Come on.
Awful.
Don't hate it. Don't hate on curling. It's the only thing that's
all right,
fun
let
about
me ask you one
Olympics.
Simple question. If you can answer this question, I will not hate curling.
All right.
Who's the commissioner of curling?
Oh, I don't know that. Can I Google it?
Google it. Go ahead. And we'll move on to the next one. Jacob Zobro. This is a guy who is an interesting guy because, like, he's more of an offensive guy than a defensive guy, but there's something about him, the way he gets offense going, that I really do like him and think that, you know, he has good size. Again, he's not a two-way defenseman, but I think he's a guy that if you get him at the end of the first, he might be, you know, 3-4 years in the making, but then I think you get something out of him. And I've seen him make some pretty slick offensive plays, and just, you know, we see nowadays, I'll give you the best example of that would probably be Matt Dumba. Matt Dumba was a guy who, you know, on my XM show, Mark Edwards, if I remember correctly, didn't like him. Shane didn't like him. I liked him. And Matt Dumba is starting to work out in the NHL. And it's not like they didn't like him to make the NHL. They just thought, not enough defense. But I think we're learning that if the guys have enough offense in their game, teams are pretty much able to teach them how to cover up their own end.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched Zboril a couple times. I don't know. He's got the size. He certainly has the size, and it has. I do like his defensive game. It still kind of leaves a little bit to be desired, but he does like
the angles. The angles are okay.
Yeah, and like you said, he's more a little bit more offense than defense. He's playing with another 2015 prospect, Thomas Chabot, who's also a very offensive player. I guess talk about him a little later.
Yeah, he'll pop up on the list.
Don't worry. But it's also a little bit tougher for a guy coming over here, learning a brand new language from the Czech Republic, playing on the smaller ice surface than he's used to. He does put a lot of pressure on himself. I mean, he has this season, but he's done very well. I mean, I saw that you rank Chabot higher. I personally would have Zboril higher than Chabot from what I've seen this season, but that's just me.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about Zboril, one last thing, was just the size is good, and he always seems to be able to make offense out of broken plays, and that happens a lot in today's NHL. Like, we just see all kinds of broken plays, and so if you can take advantage of that, to me, that's a big thing. Next one up, Jake DeBrusk. To me, an interesting guy, he's about the size you want an NHL to be, and not much smaller at 6 foot. And he's only 176 now. I'm sure he'll put on a little bit more, but very consistent scorer. And I think at the end of the day, if you're, you know, at this part of the draft, and you can get somebody who you feel is, you know, a consistent, maybe 40-50-point guy, a few years ago we wouldn't have made much out of those guys in the NHL. But now, as it's become harder to score, those guys are more revered than ever.
Yeah, he's also on the smaller side, even a little bit smaller than Spears, but he does have he's certainly not a timid player for a winger who's undersized. He likes to drive the net. He likes to go up against bigger opponents, and he's having a fantastic season, almost has 40 goals already. So he certainly has the knack for putting the puck in the back of the net. I kind of have him in that probably in the early to mid-second round, personally.
Yeah, no, he could end up there with me, too. I just sort of wanted to give a nod to
him. Yeah, just because of the size. I mean,
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was saying this is one of those guys that I'm definitely giving a nod to because it's sort of like, hey, I want to get your name out there. I notice you, and you're having a great year. And then we'll see how it all shakes out in the end because a lot of times when you start going through it, then you realize, all right, well, maybe he's not going to make it in the first round. But he's one of those guys that if he's not at the first, you know, he'll go pretty early in the second, I think, like by the middle of the second.
Definitely. I think he's definitely a player you can keep an eye out for.
Fun guy to watch. All right. Next one moving along. We will – Yevgeny Svechnikov. Is that right?
Yep. Yep, you said it correct.
I know. Sometimes I screw up these guys' names. So does Shane. So, at 6'3", 205, like if he was a North American guy, he'd probably be top 20. But because he's not.
Yeah, I'd say that too. He's getting thrown around in that area so far. I mean, you have him a little bit further down. But, yeah, he'd definitely be a top 20 guy if he was North American born.
Yeah, and now I do think in another year or two, when we're getting closer to possibly the KHL closing down, that Russian players will start to get their due again in drafts. But right now, he's just going to be a guy, I think. And look, he's in the Canadian Hockey League, but still, sometimes that's not even enough, as we saw with other guys. And you mentioned Barbashev, and so at the end of the day, I like him. He's a hard worker. He isn't quite used to North American hockey yet. He's getting there. And he scores down low. And so with that size, somebody's going to take a run on him. No question in my mind.
Yeah, I don't think he drops that far. I doubt he makes it out of the first round. I did a prospect profile on him, and I've seen a few Cape Breton games. He's impressed me definitely on the offensive side. He's got a fantastic shot, deadly accurate with it, but as you're kind of getting used to seeing with Russians, he is a little lazy on the defensive side. I think
I do have gliding in quotes, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's I just want to see that extra step on the forecheck and the back check. I mean, for his size, he could knock around some players who are trying to come out of the zone, and he's hasn't done that. However, the offensive game is so far past his defensive game that I think he's just an attractive option for anybody who's looking for that big left wing power forward scoring presence.
Yeah, and I think he could end up going up on my list too. But right now, this is where he is. Look, a couple years ago, I had Max Domi like 30th to start because I wasn't 100%, and then he moved through the list quicker than anybody I've ever had. So sometimes, you know, I could be a little late to the party. Sometimes I could be a little too harsh on a guy. But, you know, that's where I have him. But the next one, now, Cooper Marity, a lot of guys haven't seen him. And even Central Scouting, I felt, didn't have him ranked in the right spot. I think it's one of these things where if you watch him play, you could see that he's not a complete guy right now. And to me, that's okay. I mean, he's 6 foot, 176. He might be a guy that even grows. Like, we forget, like, you know, these guys are 17, going on 18. Sometimes they put on 2-3 inches. You never know. But he really has all the tools you want for a center. And because he's in the USHL and doesn't get a lot of TV coverage, he's not making a big splash. But I did notice him, and I noticed a lot of things that he can do. And this guy has great vision and can make great passes. And at the end of the day, if you're a center and you can do that, he could be a first rounder. Now, he could be a guy that also goes in the middle of the second round. But either way, somebody's going to get a center out of this. And these days, to me, it's like centers and defensemen. That's what everybody wants.
That's for sure. But, I mean, I don't want to necessarily talk about him since I personally haven't seen him play. I don't.
No, that's fine.
Because he's in the USHL, it's just really tough. I have heard his name bandied about a little bit, but the first might be a stretch. I could definitely see a second round potential if he wasn't playing in the USHL and say he was playing college or something or the CHL, he'd probably have a lot more talk. But from his numbers, he's posting pretty decent numbers on games.
He is. He's putting up decent numbers. And so anyhow, we'll move on from him. He's another guy I wanted to just give a nod to because he's performed pretty well every time I've watched him. All right, Ryan Pilon, another defenseman, good size, 6'2", 212, thereabouts, Rich Pilon's nephew. Rich was a defenseman, we'll put it in quotes, because he used to do a lot of other things on the ice rather than playing defense, but he was always a good guy. I liked him when he was on the Islanders and the Rangers, and I'd interview him, and he'd be one of those fun guys. But trust me when I tell you this, Ryan, while he's a little bit of a tough guy, has nothing like Rich. He's got a lot of talent, and it just seems like every week the offense is just emerging more and more. And so right now this is where I have him. But it's possible he can move up, but he'll stay in the list, that's for sure.
I don't doubt it. I've seen, I guess, about 4 or 5 weekend games because I was actually looking at Ivan Provorov first of how high he's been ranked, and I wanted to see if he was a real deal. But Pilon definitely stood out. I mean, he definitely has a skill and the offensive prowess to be a force on the back end, but honestly, 52 points in 65 games is great, but he's also very responsible defensively and gets back into the play quick. I like him. I like him a lot as for a defenseman. I much prefer two-way defensemen than strict offensive defensemen because if you're playing on the back end, you have to be responsible, and Ryan Pilon does just that.
Yeah, no question about it. I do want to just take this moment. I'm going to go off for a minute and just give some credit to my friends at Upper Deck. I opened up Fleer Showcase Hockey today. I put up a tweet from a Tervainen auto rookie card with a three-color swatch of nice patch, and you know, you and I had a chance to talk to him at the NHLPA event, and he's a great kid, and he's really starting to have an impact. And that was a cool card. I got a number of good ones. I got, who else? A couple of Bobby Hull cards,
Upper Deck,
which I was really excited about.
Upper Deck
about.
Does some fantastic work. I mean, when we were there for that rookie showcase, they did it up perfect. From the players to the events they had on the ice and then the off-ice stuff, it was just an awesome experience.
It was. I did get a Draisaitl rookie card and a Kuznetsov Leaf metal card, and of course we were big Kuznetsov fans. And so anyhow, just wanted to give them a nod because the card design's real good, and really box was excellent. So people should definitely.
Hey, I mean, you never know. You're probably gonna, if we go back next year, it's probably gonna be some of these guys on this list are gonna be representing.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. We definitely will go back, and there definitely will be guys from this list. All right, so the next one, Jordan Greenway. Now, I always say, Shane and I always go back and forth on our XM show because he thinks I have a bias towards power forwards, and I say I don't have a real bias towards them. It's just it's hard for them to actually make it to the NHL and stay there. But yet everybody wants to draft them because they're hoping they get the one like the Milan Lucic that clicks. And I think Jordan Greenway is one of those guys. This guy at 6'5", 223, is ridiculously strong in the corners, and he is just a force on the ice. He has good hands. And at the end of the day, I think more people should have him even higher on the list, and it's possible he'll move up on mine. But I think he's going to be right around the 20s, somewhere there. But I really like this kid a lot.
Yeah, it's very possible. Me personally, I was debating taking him out of the first round altogether. Not that I dislike his game, but it's just so hard to build that power forward like the Milan Lucic that you're talking about, David Backes.
Yeah.
Greenway has that size, and I've seen a few NTDP games this year. So strong on his skates. He's impossible to knock in front of the net.
He is already.
just causes an absolute mess for goalies. He's got some pretty decent numbers. I think it was like 28 points in 38 mm-hmm. games, which isn't that easy to do for a big power forward. But I guess when you got that size and you got that skill that goes with it, I mean, that's what makes him an attractive option.
He's not like awkward with it. He knows how to use it already.
Yeah, exactly. Great. I mean, it's really tough to knock a puck away from a 6'5" guy with that kind of reach.
Yeah, so that's something. So he's a guy to look out for. Brandon Carlo, I know you and I have gone back and forth. At the end of the day, he's a 6'5" defenseman. He's got a frame where he could put on more weight. He's going to get drafted in the first round based on his size, based on the fact that he's played on the USA team in the World Juniors. He still has a lot to prove to me, but he's still a pretty good defenseman. He is.
Yeah, he has a lot to prove to me. I wasn't really a big fan of his selection to the USA team for the World mm-hmm. Juniors. I thought there were much more deserving defensemen who could have went. I mean, for a defensive defenseman, he's exactly what you're looking for. He's got the Sam Morin size, essentially.
Yeah.
And that style of game, if that's what you're looking for, I don't think he necessarily has the upside or the, I don't know. Morin's an absolute monster against players. I mean, Carlo's physical also, but
yeah, but he's not a physical
freak
like Morin. I get what you're saying.
No, he's absolutely not. I don't think anybody is. But yeah, I would like to see him fill out that frame. He's like a 6'5" toothpick, essentially, at this point.
Right.
But it's very possible he goes in that late first round if a team's looking for that shutdown guy.
Yeah, because, again, they're hard to find these days, but when you find one, you generally feel
pretty
good about it. All right, so this is the one where I'm sure there'll be some debate. So far, Oliver Killington, I've got him at 21. And the reason I think this guy is a really good two-way guy, but when I say the two-way, there are a lot of people who cover the Swedish Elite League who I've had long conversations with about him, that don't feel he is going to bring the offense at the NHL level when he's playing on a smaller ice surface, when thing checking gets tighter. And so at the moment, until I see him more and get a little more on him, I defaulted a little to that besides my own notes. And right now, like, he's not Hampus Lindholm. You know, he's not a guy like that. And that's...
No.
And so I do want to point that out because I think people went a little crazy on him at the beginning and probably have him ranked too high. But go ahead. See what you think.
Yeah, I've only been able to see highlights of him, essentially,
yeah.
Just because he plays in the Swedish league. But there is a guy I always reach out to who runs a hockey website in Sweden, who gets to see all the top Swedish prospects. He said he's a fantastic skater, one
mm-hmm.
of the most polished guys in the draft, but he did say he was missing that extra hockey sense
mm-hmm.
that you refer to, sort of that little extra push that makes
yep.
him a complete standout. But overall, he could still end up being a very good two-way guy. He really likes to push the pace of the game, goes straight through the neutral zone. From the highlights that I saw, he was weaving in and out of defenders. That might just be because it's a much bigger ice surface and easier to play in the open areas.
Yeah, I think
but
he can have
overall,
an impact on
I think
the game.
He has that.
I do.
Yeah, I mean, he started when he was 16 years old playing against, I don't know, 25, 30-year-old guys. So
right.
he's got that maturity factor that other defensemen don't have necessarily. But overall, he's got solid potential as a two-way guy,
he
maybe.
He might move up on my list, but I don't think he'll ever move in the top five. I'll just be honest about that. All right, so I move on. Thomas Novak. Now, this is a guy who, again, right around that 6 foot 181, which, you know, to me, you could have smaller players and some of them will make it. But to me, like, I don't know, that's almost like the NHL minimum. You know, it's like, I know that sounds crazy because if you go back and you look at the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, even the 60s, guys were much smaller. But just the way the game's going, this is sort of how I like the guys to be. And this guy could be a real showman on the ice. What do you think of him?
Overall, I think he has a great two-way game. He is starting to put up points this season. But I don't know. 6 foot is not – I mean, it's small, but not small enough where it's like a huge factor, and he still stands out. He's a very good
he's
playmaker.
He's a little physical, too. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He is physical. He plays a very strong game. But I do like his playmaking and hands in tight spaces. He's very slick
mm-hmm.
with the puck. I think he's in first rounds all across the board for many of the draft guys who are putting out their top 30s. So I can conceivably see him pushing that mid-first-round range into the late first round.
Yeah, and just so people know, we're going to probably go into OT for another 15 minutes, I would imagine. So you just have to come back and listen to the rest on the archives. You'll be leaving it right around 20 or 19. 19's Travis Konecny. Now, this guy's a little on the small side, but he's got versatility. He could play center or wing, and he's got a lot of speed to burn. And the open ice speed is what I look at, and the stick skills, and he's another guy that can go wide. And so, like, if you're small and you can go wide, we've seen what Johnny Gaudreau could do, and he's sort of the blueprint now for some of these other guys right around that size with that kind of speed. So I think he's going to stay in my list for a while. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Gaudreau because I saw him a few times this season. I saw him in the top prospects game as well. He does have that speed that kills. But
mm-hmm.
what really sold me on his game and could push him up a few spots. I don't think he'll be in the top 15, but in the 16 to 18 range. I know you have him in 19, so it's not that big of a
yep.
jump. But his
yep.
shot is so quick, so fast off his off the blade of a stick, and he can make you pay.
He can. All right, number 18 is one of my favorite guys to watch these days, is Daniel Sprong. Now, he's a guy I would say don't look at the plus minus. You know, if you're going to look at the plus minus of him, then you're just not going to ever draft him. And it's just because he's young and he tries to do too much. But he's already, you know, at 6 foot, like 192, he's got the right stockiness. He really is a big-time goal scorer, but he can work in small places. And I think that he's got that patience of a really good goal scorer. So he's a guy that I think should get a lot of talk. And if you're a team in the middle of the first round, you got to seriously look at this guy because he could be a second liner, possibly even a first liner, but definitely a second liner.
Yeah, me and you sort of differentiate on Sprong. I don't think he's a bad player by any stretch. He's got incredible offensive talent. I've seen just how lethal he can be. 37 goals on the year. He's got an incredibly fast shot, but it's that thing that you mentioned about he takes – it's more of a one-man team when it comes to him. He's not really looking for anybody else on the ice. He's kind of trigger-happy and just wants to score the big goal instead of, I don't know, setting up the right play. I had him. I would have him a little bit further down. I still think he's a first-round talent, but – I don't know. This is just me from what I've seen of him all season and the past couple games especially.
No, it's fair. I mean, again, it's early on, and we'll see, and we'll see how it goes. But he's a young guy, too, and I think he'll grow out of some of that stuff. Brock Boeser. Now, this is a guy who really opened some eyes in the USHL Top Prospects game and good size already, 6'1", 192, and I always – like to give a nod to the USHL. I try and cover at least a couple of games or a tournament a year of them now, every year, because more and more players are coming out of there. And this is a guy who could even rise a little higher than this, but just has that look of an NHLer, and he's a winger. And so I think if you're a team that's looking for a winger, this is a good guy. This is a good guy to start with.
Yeah, definitely tough to knock off the puck. The guy is built like an absolute tank for being in the 6 foot, 6'1" range.
Yeah.
He's putting up a fantastic season with Waterloo far, and he's just got, I don't know, he's got that fire in his eyes, like when he wants something done, he's going to do whatever he can to make it happen.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Craig Button kind of shot his name up the rankings and listed him at number 9. I think that's a bit high. But I don't know. I like the way he plays the game. It's just a very straightforward game. Plays hard in every single zone.
I think he's a safe pick. He's a safe pick.
I mean, I don't know if I'd necessarily put him in the top 20 safe picks, but for a winger, he definitely has the size and the skill for it.
All right. Now, the next guy is a guy who right now is at 16, could be higher, Thomas Chabot, really good size. To me, a rising talent in the draft. He's another one of those rangy defensemen. If you're listening to Ron Hextall, if Ron Hextall is listening, you might call him that. But he's got that long reach and good speed, and he's good on the point, and just a lot to like. I don't know how much higher he could go, but because, again, this is a draft where you could really get some terrific offensive talent, and the defensemen are sort of they're scattered. They're not as, you know, strong as some other drafts. So he's going to be looked at that way, and if somebody really needs a defenseman, they might take him higher.
Yeah, I was watching him last season, and offensively he has all the skills you need, but defensively he was just a train wreck in his own zone. I was hoping for a big change this season, and he's done a complete 180. He's actually started to play a more well-balanced game. He's fighting for pucks. He's breaking up plays. He's doing everything you need, but he still likes to push the puck up ice, make those breakout passes, and generate rushes. I think he could be a riser. I don't. He might still fall a little bit because people might be looking at his numbers, and he had like a minus 29 last year, and it was just I know you don't take much
in the plus minus
numbers all that much, but He has done a complete 180 in terms of his game, and he's on that upward trajectory, kind of like Travis Sanheim was. I don't know if he's necessarily as good as Travis Sanheim, but he's certainly going in that direction.
All right, so now this next guy could literally be in the top 10 or anywhere from 15 to 20 in my eyes. Nick Merkley, he's just like, for whatever reason, creates a lot of debate, maybe because of his size, only at 5'10", but again, just a huge playmaker, gifted passer, and when you look at the way he could turn the corner with his speed and knowing that he has those other gifts, I think he could survive very easily at the NHL level as a second liner for sure, and if not, maybe on a great team, a third liner if somebody were to move up and take him. But he's a big reason why Kelowna is as good as they are, and I'm really high on him. What do you think?
I absolutely agree with you. I can't say enough good things about him. I was a little hesitant to put him high in the beginning because I knew Kelowna was going to be a good team. I wasn't sure if his offensive production was because of the players he had. Obviously, they got Leon Draisaitl in a trade. That took a lot of pressure off him to be the go-to offensive centerman, which has been doing wonders for him. Recently, since I'm a Flyers writer and I keep tabs on a lot of prospects, I was mainly looking at Goldborn, but Merkley definitely stood out. He's an absolute playmaker and a machine in the offensive zone. Like you said, 5'10 is not the biggest, but I think he might be a very underrated pick in this draft.
Now, this next guy could be the most overrated guy in the draft in Lawson Crews. Again, I think it was Central Scouting had him like 4 or 5 or something like that, right? I mean,
A few of them had Kraus up that high.
I have him at 14. I'll admit, besides the World Juniors, there's just been a lot that hasn't impressed me. He does have that power forward look to him, and to me, that's all well and good, but I haven't seen enough out of him, and I don't know if I'm going to see enough out of him to really boost him up any further in this draft, at least in my eyes. Now, in a mock, it could be different because if I'm looking at a team and I think he fits, then yeah, it's possible he'll be higher. But what do you think about Cruz?
Me and you have been going back and forth since probably the beginning of the year on him. I do like him. I don't necessarily like him at fourth or fifth or sixth. I'd have him about 9 through 12, that area. I liked what I've seen of him. The problem with, not necessarily him, but he was looked at to be this big offensive guy. He does have he is scoring at almost a point per game pace, but the Kingston Frontenacs in the OHL are just absolutely atrocious at scoring goals. They just started picking up the pace when Sam Bennett got back, since he was injured for the majority of the season. But Kraus has still stood out as the best player on that team by a long shot. For his size, to see that kind of skill is pretty incredible. I think he's more of a safer pick if you're looking for a winger in the top 15.
And I will say this, I like his defense and penalty killing. That is really good.
No. He's a complete player. Obviously more offensive than defensive, but he's not afraid to use his size. And I think he was placed in that type of role for the World Juniors when he was playing on Richie's line. And I forget who was centering. Gauthier was centering that line. So they had that big, bruising, offensively gifted line that worked really well for him. Obviously, ended up getting him a gold medal. But I do like Kraus a lot in this draft.
Okay, next one. 13th so far, I've got Matthew Barzal, 6 foot 181. I don't hear a ton about him. I know that's like the most overused phrase in prospect talk, but I just, you know, I it's true. I mean, it's just, you know, people always tweet, well, that's the most cliche thing you could say, and at times it is, but I think, where does he play? Seattle, and it seems like some guys get lost there, but I'll tell you, low center of gravity, good in the open ice, and he's a centerman. and he's got good size. Not great size because he's 6 foot, 181, but he's sturdy. And so when I'm looking for a good centerman, a good solid one in the middle of the draft, I'm thinking about this guy.
Yeah, to that point, I think he's one of the guys that is drastically underrated. I don't have him necessarily in the top 10. You have him in a pretty good spot. I think he plays in all three zones equally well. He knows where to be, when to be there. He plays a great positional game. Isn't afraid to use his body, although he's not huge.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows how to make the smart plays to get the job done, and that's what I've liked about him with Seattle this season.
Yeah, like I said, it just, you know, it seems like guys get lost there, and it's not that, you know, they can't be any high picks. Obviously, they've had some, but it's just that is just not the center of the hockey universe for when you're looking to get, like, pub for a draft. You really have to go out of your way to see the guy. All right, next one. Next one could go higher. I admit it. But I also will admit that I think there's not enough buzz around this player, Mikko Rantanen. At 6'4", 209, he can play center or wing. He's definitely playing against men already. There's a lot to like in this package. And I think you know, the scouts and teams will be pretty high on him. But for some reason, a lot of the lists don't seem to be really high on him lately. Is he just getting lost in the shuffle?
I have no clue, personally, why. In the World
but
Juniors, I thought he was fantastic in the World Juniors. For a guy who's 6'4", who can buzz around the ice and create like that guy can, I don't know why he's not having more buzz around him. Personally, he was one of the guys I was debating putting into the top 10 and taking a guy like maybe Pavel Zacha out, because I've seen that offensive potential from him, and he's got, like you said, he's playing against men already. He's got an NHL caliber shot, gifted playmaker. He's a total package if you're looking for that offensive juggernaut, either at center or wing. He can play both. And
okay.
I don't know. As the months lead up to the draft, he has a very good shot at making it into the top 10.
I agree. Now, this next one is a player that I really like in this draft a lot. He's another USHL guy. He's like a Michigan tough guy, is the way I like to put it, Kyle Connor. He's already, since I've been tracking him, gained 13 pounds, and he's 6'1", so he's still growing. He's a center. He's got a really well-rounded game, and he was on the under 18 team that I liked a lot. I think this guy could even go a little higher, because I think if you want to talk about a guy who just looks like he's going to play in the NHL, he's one of them.
Can't argue with that. If you were asking why Rantanen wasn't getting any buzz, Kyle Connor is another player who gets absolutely nothing.
Right.
I mean, USHL just doesn't get shown anywhere whatsoever. Not that the Finnish Hockey League does, but Connor has been absolutely lights out for Youngstown this season. I've seen a couple games where he just takes it over, just completely takes the game over. He is not afraid to crash the net. He can weave through defenders like, I don't know, like knife through butter, honestly. On the USHL YouTube, they have weekly highlights from the games that happened the previous week, and he seems to be consistently in one of the top plays. And
he's got 65 points in 47 games.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he could push into the top 10 ahead of guys like maybe Timo Meier or even Mitch Marner, because although he has that elite offense, he's still one of the shorter guys, but overall, yeah, he has a lot of time to grow into his body, and I think he could be an absolute steal that people just seem to be overlooking right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, even Central Scouting's got him at 14, and I just sort of shake my head at it, not to be overly critical, because I'm not, but just, like, I don't know how you could watch him and not see, you know, more. That's what I'll say. Next one. This one, I think